Welcome back to Financial Focus. Thanks for joining us today. It is the time of day when we have our guest with us, and our guest today is Ann Chapman. She's a bankruptcy attorney in Portland, Oregon. Ann, if somebody wanted to learn more about you and your contact information, do you have a website and a telephone number?
Sure do. We're at www.bkattorneys.com, short for bankruptcy, B as in boy, K as in king, attorneys.com. And the number is 503-241-4869.
And I don't think you've actually said the name of your firm yet. What's the
name? The firm is Vanden Bosch & Chapman.
Okay.
VandenBosch, Dutch, but very American.
Great. So can you, I can't imagine what it's like to have to call your office and come and see you. Can you sort of describe what that first meeting is like for people that are out there listening and might need your help or somebody like yours help?
Well, I think the first phone call is the hardest, and once you can pick up that 100-pound phone, you call us. I think we are a compassionate group of lawyers. There's four of us here, and hopefully by the time that first phone call where we sort of chat with you a little bit about what's driving the phone call, tell you what you need to bring in to see us, you have to fill out a basic information packet you get off our website. You have some hope that there's somebody that you can talk to because most people have kept it inside for a long time. So when you come in and talk to us, sort of the first meeting is about what do you have, what do you owe, what's your budget look like, and then we go through sort of a discussion about what would happen if we did a 7, which is straight bankruptcy, what would happen if we did a 13, if you're a larger business, whether we could reorganize you in Chapter 11, and at the end of that first meeting, hopefully you have a clear idea what your options are, and you know, oftentimes it's a pretty clear choice. Sometimes you have to think about it. But I think most realize that there is a way out. Some people, this is a very private thing, and people don't talk about it with their neighbors. And so usually by the time they get to us, they have held this inside for a long, long time.
Are there people that think of the bankruptcy as an option? I mean, I think probably the vast majority of they're backed into a corner and there's not many other options for them. But are there also people you're seeing where maybe that they're coming to you as they think it's an easy way out of a situation and they could probably get their way out without filing bankruptcy? Are you seeing those people?
Not really that many. Congress tightened up the laws in 2005 to not make it impossible to file, but make it harder for people that do have some ability to repay their creditors to do a straight bankruptcy. So there's this elaborate legal test we go through called the means test, and if you fail the means test, you're going to have a pretty hard time just doing a straight bankruptcy. So Congress pretty much took care of that back in 2005.
A lot of people have gotten to the situation they were is maybe they overextended, bought way too much home and can't afford it, and now they can't get it sold.
Right.
To go out there. When you look at this, you have some unique views on how we could maybe solve this mortgage crisis. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Well, you know, the bankruptcy bench, the judges in the system have been dealing with restructuring car loans for a long, long time in bankruptcy. And if you were to put a mechanism through a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, which is a reorganization process that lasts for 3 to 5 years, you could give bankruptcy judges the power to restructure mortgages in a way where people would be, those that could afford their homes could find a realistic way to stay in their homes, and those that couldn't afford their homes would know where they stand. Right now, the loan modification process is long, it's confusing, it's uncertain. It's ambiguous, and one of the things capitalism really needs to work well is efficiency and clarity and decisiveness.
When you look at these mortgage rework process to go through keeping homes affordable and those kinds of things, are they working at all? Because I haven't talked to very many people that, like you said, it's a long process, but I've never found anybody that really finds a light at the end of the tunnel. Are there people that make it work?
Yeah, there are some people I've seen loan modifications work, and what it requires is, one, you have to have a realistic financial chance to do what you say you're going to do. You can't be looking at unemployment and keep a $400,000 house. So first of all, you've got to have a realistic financial chance. But number two, you have to be patient with the process. The loan modification process, the dirty little secret out there, is that the loan modification process is really a disguised way to slow down the flow of foreclosures on the market. And the reason so few of them are successful is because they're not really designed to be successful. It's really a mechanism the banks have used, and it worked during the savings and loan crisis in the early 80s, to basically slow the rate of foreclosing properties into the market. And in some ways, that's for all of us, because if the market were to bottom all at once, that would be bad for everyone. So really, in some ways, the loan modification is sort of a trick the banks use to keep people that are invested in their homes in the homes longer, and then suddenly they say, well, we've lost your documents. You know, can you send another set of pay stubs? And I'm convinced there's a star chamber somewhere where the president of B of A and Chase and all the big banks get together and they say, okay, I'll do foreclosures in California this month, you do New York. Because if they put them all on the market too quickly, you have a result that happened in Florida, Nevada, Arizona, where the foreclosures just flooded the market all at once, and those markets are really struggling to recover.
Yeah, but those markets are going to clear. I mean, that for capitalism to work.
They will clear, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we need markets to clear generally, and then when there's too much intervention, then markets can't clear. And that's why the process in recessions get prolonged, because we don't get a clearing of a market.
Well, but on the other hand, the other thing you have to think about is, you know, if you make the loan modification process really the only way for people that could keep their homes to stay in their homes, and then you make it difficult and inefficient, and there are no controls on it, then you lose a number of borrowers that under other circumstances might be able to stay in their homes. So that's my point, is that you're losing a number of good borrowers that had a glitch. If they could reorganize in a 13 and the bankruptcy bench had more power to modify these first mortgage loans, we might be able to keep more people in their homes that really should be in their homes.
I'm not here to try to defend the banks. That's certainly not where I want to be. But do you think that part of the problem, too, for the bank is the, you know, that, you know, you do a loan through a broker and then the securitization process of that loan makes it maybe harder for the banks to do these modifications?
Absolutely. There's something called a pooling agreement. And when they bunched all these mortgages together, they made them subject to pooling agreements, and many of the pooling agreements limit how much of a loss you can take in a portfolio at any given time. So you can't really voluntarily agree to do more of these deals than what your pooling agreements let you do. And so that's part of the problem, too, is we've got agreements in place that make it difficult to deal with investors.
And then
it's a morass.
And the banks have to work through that. I mean, eventually the banks will work through those, but in the meantime, we'll flounder around like we are right now.
Exactly.
So is the foreclosure process broke, or is it just overwhelmed, Dan?
You know, I don't think the foreclosure process is broken, unless you want to extend that to talk about loan modifications as the beginning of a foreclosure process. The only reason the foreclosure process is broken is because of this whole MERS system. And MERS is the Mortgage Electronic Registration System. And what they did is, rather than when they started securitizing all these loans and passing them around and buying and selling them, they created their own electronic registration system. So every time they passed a mortgage from place to place, they didn't have to go pay the county recorder in Clackamas County $72 to record the transfer of the trust deed. So now what's happened is, the reason the foreclosure process is broken is because if you look at the title of a house and you compare it to who's suing you or who's foreclosing you on a non-judicial basis, they often don't match. And so you don't get to see the chain of title. So that's part of what's happened in Oregon, is that a state court judge said, I can't tell if the person on the title is the one that did the non-judicial. And that's not a legal process. And so I'm going to require you to foreclose judicially, file a complaint, allege the chain of title. And so B of A just recently filed a number of judicial foreclosures that had been sort of in limbo for a long, long time. So we're getting a lot of those calls just this month.
I read an article that you did in Portland there, and I like this statement. It said, banks are dumber than ever. They don't know how to lend. They have no clear mission. They keep us financially unconscious. Can you elaborate what you mean by the financially unconscious?
Well, they don't really want you. Again, I come from an era where banks were paternalistic. You didn't get a loan unless you really didn't need one. Now, that's the extreme. And now they've gone to the point where, what's in it for me? Banks used to be part of the collective community. They used to be part of the fabric of our society. They were there to be like an older brother that was going to guide you through the financial decisions of your life.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to have Ann Chapman continue with us in the next segment. She's a bankruptcy attorney in Portland, Oregon. We'll talk to her about, they have a website, and we'll get you some contact information when that comes up. And we're going to talk a little bit about, Ann has some unique views and some good ideas about this mortgage crisis and maybe how to dig ourselves out of it as a society. We're going to ask her about that. You're listening to Financial Focus.